answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Point. This regime that is running the country now, they are as hardliner as anybody has ever seen in a 47-year history of the regime. They're digging their heels in, and we have to look at them through their own prism, not through ours, not through our values and what's reasonable. They don't care about their people. If there are gas lines, if there's electricity shortages in entire cities, they are digging their heels in here. Because they don't care about the suffering of the people. They've already demonstrated that in killing them by the tens of thousands and letting the people get to this incredible economic situation that already exists. Oh. So where is the Trump administration? They're reassessing, Cheryl, and they did that yesterday. And I think what the reassessment is likely going to lead to, at least I think it should lead to, is one, continue to blockade for sure. Two, recognize that we're not going to get a negotiated settlement with these hardliners and go back to combat operations, full throttle combat operations.
Full throttle combat operations. That means resuming bombing Iran facilities, oil production, supply, things of that nature. That is retired general, four-star general Jack King. And he says, look, we cannot deal with Iran because they're not common sense people. We cannot look at them as we would with an argument with a neighbor or even another politician if they're not wacko. You can't reason. You cannot have a discussion. They want only one thing. They want a nuclear weapon. And that is the main line that Trump has put down, saying that will not happen. You have to put aside all of the noise you hear from many on the left saying, we're not winning anything here. We don't have a withdrawal strategy. What are we going to do? My prices on my oil and gas are going up. Yeah, and it's probably going to go up again some more. Now, Trump says in a True Social thing, a media the statement that Iran is begging, basically, for new talks because they say they're basically facing a disaster. He phrased it differently, but that's what it amounts to. His remarks, they are a state in collapse. I don't know if that is true, but I certainly believe it more than I would the Iranian leadership. Oh, we're just fine here. They might be, but their people aren't. And that's the thing General Jack King was pointing out. They don't care if their people suffer because they're hoping that that suffering will turn against America, anti-American sentiment. But true Iranians who just want to go back to the way things were, they're caught in the middle. And there's a report out that by an analyst group that evaluates this, saying that Iran currently is running out of places to store oil. I guess they're still trying to produce it, but they can't get it out of their ports because of the blockade. And supposedly 12 days might be the maximum, and then they're going to be fully stocked everywhere. They won't have any place to put the new oil. And the key point is they don't have money coming in. That's why you saw yesterday the Iranian foreign minister meet with Russian President Putin in St. Petersburg. And Putin said, after meeting Iran's top diplomat, we see how bravely and heroically the Iranian people were fighting for their independence, for their sovereignty. Putin's a communist. You got to keep that in mind. Putin's a dictator. Keep that in mind. The Iranian president is a dictator. Communist linked as well. They're not fighting for their people, their independence or sovereignty. They're fighting for their particular personal sovereignty and independence. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA. Every day here for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And if you miss anything, Everything goes up as a podcast later at News Talk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. And with LarryConnorsUSA, you are always going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. You're going to leave this hour with more knowledge than you can do right now. That's a key point of what we do with this program. Not just filibuster, not just be bombastic, although I can be. Not make jokes and humorous remarks, which I can do. Maybe you don't think they're funny, but I do. I laugh at my own jokes. What does that tell you? But we want to make sure you leave enlightened with more knowledge. In fact, dealing with that point, there's a case before the U.S. Supreme Court. It involves geofencing. You know what that means? Geofencing means that the government would have ability to go to various tech companies and say, a crime got committed in this region. We want a list of all cell phone users that might have been in that area or computer users. We want everybody known within this area to find what? One person, maybe a terrorist group. My guest to discuss that is the president of the John Birch Society. You'll hear his remarks coming up later. And also, ABC reporting. ABC reporting. What police had to say about Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. Oh, don't get ahead of us. You need to hear exactly what ABC reported. That's coming up later in this hour as well. But once again, back to Iran and the U.S. and what happens next.
The president has made it clear what his red lines are. And from what we understand and what we gather from the course of this war, some of the red lines include Iran wanting to establish a new protocol around the strait, perhaps introducing a toll booth. That is something that would be a non-starter, not just for the U.S., but for many nations, especially those around the Gulf. War guarantees difficult in reality to implement, especially if you think about U.S. applying pressure on Israel to restrain Israel should they want to go down the war path again. And then the final point is the deferral of this nuclear file. And if they do that, it's also, in effect, a recognition that the war itself has not been successful because the very purpose of the war was to stop Iran from going on to developing a nuclear weapon. So unclear at this point where the U.S. stands on this, but they have said that they are reviewing the proposal.
That is a Bloomberg report. And I missed who if she credited anyone with saying that the war is not being successful, or she just stated it. Does Iran have a nuclear weapon at this point? No. If we had not been there, would they have one? Probably. That was their intent. They still say it is. In fact, they will not sign an agreement saying we will cease all efforts to build a nuclear weapon. That in itself says we're doing the right thing at this point. And Trump's giving them every opportunity, but the latest offer from them does not pass the smell test. He said, we're not going to continue shuttling back and forth for hours between Pakistan, dealing with what we've seen you present. You have nothing new. And Trump is probably behind the scenes talking to Putin, especially after he had met with the Iranian leadership yesterday, or what considered to be the Iranian leadership. Left-leaning media pointing out Trump's trying to cover up anything he's saying with the Russian Premier Putin. He's just not making anything direct at this point. Like Iran was broadcasting worldwide, we're going to Kremlin to talk to Putin. Trump has invited Putin to Miami later this year for a G20 summit. But I'm sure there's still additional conversations going on. Treasury Secretary Bessent.
President Trump's going to go in, and he has a negotiating strategy. He's been putting a lot of the pieces in place over the last couple of weeks and days. So he's going to go in a very strong position. And then two, I want to say that it is time for our European counterparts to put up or shut up.
Yeah.
They keep saying, oh, the U.S. should do this, U.S. should do that. President Trump has put secondary tariffs on India because of their consumption of Russian oil, and the Europeans haven't done that yet. As a matter of fact, the Europeans are buying the refined products that the Indian refiners make. So we need some coordination here. So if we are going to have a united front, which will give President Trump maximum leverage, then I think that our European counterparts need to do their part.
So Bessin is talking about Trump meeting with Russia, not just on Ukraine, but Iran, a two-prong attack. But basically, the Treasury Secretary says Trump is just trying to find a road to peace.
He is cleaning up the mess that he was left with. He is a president of peace. And he wants to see the bloodshed stop. We will see if President Putin is ready to negotiate. And this is his chance. If he wants to stop the bloodshed, President Trump is willing to keep the talks going. And he's already talked about this is the precursor for a second round of talks. So it's going to be up to President Putin. And as you know, President Trump's very persuasive.
Yeah, he can be. And here's another card that got placed on the table. The United Arab Emirates says it will leave the oil cartel, OPEC, effective May 1. They've been having disagreements with their neighboring Saudi Arabia. And now they've decided we want to have our own foreign policy in the Middle East because they've been contradicting Riyadh over a period of time, especially Saudi Arabia, as they've been trying to challenge the Emirates and trying to draw foreign investments. So the UAE, United Arab Emirates, is going to step out of OPEC, the oil cartel that has involved all the Middle East. That will again affect oil prices. It'll all be blamed on Trump. Just keep that in mind. But back to dealing with Iran right now and what should be done, because we're no longer interested in just having tea and crumpets, talking, chatting, sharing stories. Retired four-star General Jack King says back to going after the targets, full throttle.
If we haven't told these leaders who we're negotiating with, if we go back to combat operations, they're going to be held accountable and their personal survival is going to be target one, then we're missing a boat. I'm sure we have done something like that. Well, so that, I think, is a reasonable path, and I'm thinking that's the administration is certainly yesterday's meeting probably was likely all about what to do next.
And there's no doubt on another topic that leftists and their vile language to get rid of Trump played a part in the recent attempt to kill him. So you should not be surprised by these remarks from GOP Tennessee Congressman Ogles.
There was a reporter, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. There was a reporter in the room who was under a table, and when the shots went off and everybody's hiding, she said, I hope they killed the orange MF. That was a journalist in the room who was hoping that when she stood up, the president of the United States would be dead. So I'm coming to a public venue where I know it might be hostile to expose myself to an honest dialogue, an open dialogue. And if you ask me a question and I don't have an answer, I will get you something in writing or we can talk on the phone. But when you have members of the press openly enticing, hoping, talking about killing the chief executive officer of this country, again, Muslim, Jew, Hindu, I don't care. That's a problem.
I'm sorry, what did she say?
I hope they killed the orange MF.
Now, the Tennessee congressman did not identify the journalist, and you can question, well, he made it up. You want to say that? Go ahead. But the thought is there with many of them. We do know that. Missouri Senator Schmidt.
And I would point out, we've heard years of the left, their loudest voices calling anyone on the right extremist MAGA Republicans, fascists, Nazis, an existential threat to democracy. Check yourself. And don't give me this both sides bullshit. Mr. Director, I want to ask you, The man who tried to kill Republican congressmen at the congressional baseball practice, nearly killing House Majority Leader Steve Scalise. Left-wing or right-wing violence?
Sir, I believe it was a left-wing ideology.
Okay. Burn down cities during the Summer of Love in the George Floyd riots. Left-wing violence or right-wing violence? Left-wing. The Waukesha Christmas Parade massacre? Left-wing. The Lee Zeldin stabbing attempt? Left-wing. The Covenant School shooting in Nashville? Left-wing. The Butler, Pennsylvania assassination attempt on President Trump? Left-wing. The Trump International West Palm Beach assassination attempt? Left-wing. The Abundant Life Christian School shooting? Left-wing. The United Care CEO's murder? Left-wing. Tesla's burned, keyed, damaged, firebomb? Left-wing. The murders at the Israeli embassy? Left-wing. The ICE facilities firebombed? Left-wing. The Minnesota Catholic school shooting? Left-wing. The anti-white Charlotte and North Carolina stabbing? Left-wing. The attempted Utah News State firebombing, left-wing. And now, of course, the culmination of this vile trend, a left-wing assassination of Charlie Kirk. So don't give me this both sides. If we want to get to unity, let's be honest. Let's be honest.
Missouri Senator Schmidt. And yet at the same time, House Minority Leader Jeffries defends his remarks that we need maximum warfare against Trump.
As it relates to anything that has been said, certainly as it relates to the comment related to maximum warfare everywhere, all the time, in connection with the redistricting battle that Republicans launched. I stand by it. You can continue to criticize me for it. Yeah. I don't give a damn about your criticism.
Yeah, and I don't give a damn about your remarks, and we will continue to criticize you. Speaking about the Texas redistricting, big win on the high court yesterday. We'll get to that later in this hour. White House spokeswoman Carolyn Leavitt points out, we have a leader who is fearless.
And while we are blessed to have a fearless president, we should not live in a country where such constant fear of political violence permeates our society every single day. We can and we should have fierce disagreement in this country. As you all know, we disagree often, myself in this role and all of you in the news media. But those disagreements must remain peaceful. Debating, peaceful protesting, and voting are how we need to settle disagreements, not bullets.
Not bullets. But Nancy Pelosi and others say, we didn't tell them to go out and shoot Trump. But you sparked the idea. And some are unstable enough to do it anyway. And some think that's their green light. And they might be richly rewarded. I mentioned to you earlier, free beer from one Minnesota beer company or Wisconsin beer company on the day Trump dies. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoons height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesund Heit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
And we're down, we go, go, go.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. I want to refer to a piece written by Nina Totenberg. She's with PBS. And yes, I have issues with PBS and some of it. But her article deals with geofencing. Yesterday, the Supreme Court heard arguments about a relatively new law enforcement technique allowing police to tap into giant tech firm databases to find out who was near the scene of a crime, trying to find who might have been involved. It's called geofencing. And the question is, raised by even Nina Totenberg of PBS, ingenious, Orwellian, or both? Joining us with his view, Bill Jasper. Bill Jasper, president of the John Birch Society. Welcome, Bill. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you. Pleasure being on with you.
So what is your thought about the geofencing case that was argued before the court where they can basically, I want details from your phone company, everything else, of everyone's cell and our computer that might have been within several blocks of this particular crime?
Well, it is fraught with a lot of dangers, and this is one area where we would share concerns with a lot of people all across the spectrum, from right to left and in the middle. Any new grab for power by government, by federal, state, or local government, has to be looked at really carefully because this is part of what we are headed into of the surveillance state, where we have cameras everywhere, we have AI surveillance. We are becoming more and more like communist China, where most people in your audience have seen videos of the surveillance state over there. Their social credit system, which if you cross the street wrong, if you frown when you're supposed to smile at a government announcement, that can be held against you and added to your subtracted from your social credit score. And with this omnipresent surveillance, there is no privacy. And so when that is tallied up, your bank account can be closed. Your ability to travel can be closed. And so we have seen this increasingly here in the United States under both Republican and Democrat administrations.
Now, the basis for this particular case was obviously privacy laws and law enforcement. Involved a bank robbery in a small Virginia town. A robber pulled a gun, fled with about $195,000. Police went to the scene, interviewed witnesses, reviewed surveillance, and then after 2 weeks of, or rather 2 months of working on it, all leads dried up, so they applied for a geofence warrant directed at Google for all of its collected and stored cell phone location on that date and around that time. Now, after 9/11, we all wanted to secure our country. Patriot Act was born. That began what, a slippery slope or reinforcing protection?
Well, it was a slippery slope. So to have perfect protection, some people would argue that privacy has to go altogether. So you can't have curtains on your windows. You can't have locks on your doors, because if you're not doing anything illegal or wrong, you don't have anything to hide. Well, we know that the main, yes, we have to be concerned about criminals and terrorists, but the history of the human race has shown that the biggest danger to our safety, to our freedoms, to our prosperity, is government run amok. We've seen that in Nazi, fascist, communist, socialist governments.
And we've seen it here with FISA warrants.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when Okello Chatri robbed the bank, that put in motion, as you pointed out, they went to Google and got a warrant. And so what happens in this case is when a warrant is applied to Google is the main source that they're going to, because they have all the Android apps, and even Apple uses Google. So they can track cell phones, and they turned over all of those within those cell phones that registered within 150 meters. Well, we saw in the case of the January 6th, the federal government did an even wider scope, and they got thousands of people who were just walking by, who were going to work, going to the doctor, and all of their privacies were invaded. And so this is the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution says, "The rights of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue except upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized." So the founders were fully aware of the dangers of a general warrant, which in Britain were ubiquitous. They said, no, you can't just have a warrant to go fishing in these cases. You have to meet those four criteria. So the geofencing warrant really fits into the general warrant category. And of course, we didn't anticipate this kind of technology back in the 18th century when the Constitution was written. So this is one of those hard cases. There could be terrorist attacks where it's going to be very tempting to say, hey, if we're going to protect the country and save lives, we have to do some geofencing around this area where we know the terrorists were. I'm not sure how it's going to come out.
Let me dive in that. Again, folks, you're listening to Bill Jasper, president of the John Birch Society. After 9/11, the argument was, and I made it myself, that, look, if we could have gotten information in advance by whatever means, would we not have wanted to have that information? The answer is yes, but that's the other part of the equation.
Yes, and so I'm also a senior editor of the New American Magazine, which we publish, and have been writing for it for 40 years. And we've covered this topic many times at thenewamerican.com, and we're going to be having one of our legal scholars doing a full run at this case coming up, and it's something that is really a conundrum. We have to deal with the dangers to our country. We have to be able to use the technologies that are available, but we can't allow just a wild reign of these things. And we have to make sure that they're kept within bounds.
And Bill, to that extent, when you have this geofence collecting all of those who might have been inside the area at the time, and they're not really charged with anything, but they might be suspected, but then they might end up having to spend money and resources to defend themselves for something they've not been involved in, but they happen to be there. And January 6th is an example of that.
Correct. And if you have smart criminals, they're going to not only have their locations turned off, but while they're committing a crime, particularly if they're tech savvy criminals, as many are, they're either going to have it in a Faraday bag or they're going to make sure that their signal is not getting out.
Well, there is the problem in that sense of how can we protect society and the individual? And there's a whole constitutional question.
Yes, and it is something we have to wrestle with regularly. The founders did themselves. They had, if you read the debates in the Constitutional Convention, they were very, very worried about this whole area. And of course, they had no idea that we would in our day be dealing with all of these thorny issues of technology. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the court decides on this. And either way, there are going to be people who are going to be dissatisfied. On the government side, particularly on law enforcement, there's a tendency among law enforcement to want to have every gadget available. They want license plate readers. They want cameras all over the place,
which exist. Yep.
You know, there are some things that have been good, I believe, and we have a separate law enforcement charitable foundation, and we provide aid to survivors of police who have been in shootings, etc.
Right.
And but there's one of the developments that I think is good is the body cameras that police wear and other law enforcement wear, because it's good for them, it's good for us. We have to keep the people. Yeah, we have to keep the people that we give power over certain areas of our lives, whether they're wearing badges and carrying guns or whether they're legislators or bureaucrats. We have to keep their powers contained. And that's what the Constitution was really brought about to be.
I want to thank you for your time today, Bill Jasper, president of the John Birch Society. We will no doubt be visiting this once the court hands down its ruling on this case sometime later this summer. Bill, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up, once again, to this issue about missing, disappearing, dead, suspicious death of scientists. Tommy Lahren has a point.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation, if they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
All my friends know the lowrider. The lowrider is a little higher.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Yeah, what really strikes me too when you mentioned kind of the similar behavior of some of these individuals that have gone missing, leaving things at home, people that are, you know, mothers, fathers, that they have family. We've even heard some that have said, hey, raising an alarm bell, if something happens to me, just know I didn't commit suicide.
Exactly.
I mean, that is stunning to me. So I know that we're hearing that the FBI is looking into it. I have full faith that the FBI is looking into it. But anytime you have a series of events like this, the American public is obviously very invested into this because it's concerning and it's a pattern. So I think the more clarity they can give, the better. I'm also taken back to when we had the drones over New Jersey, right? And it was like, why can't we get answers on this? We're seeing them. Why can't we get answers? Turns out there was a simple explanation, but they withheld it for so long that people started to panic. More information is always better. I know investigations need to play out, but this story, now that the list is growing, is not going to go away.
No, not likely to go away. She's talking about, that's Tony Lahren, Fox News, talking about the disappearance, mysterious death of now 13 different scientists tied in various ways to our nuclear jet propulsion programs, one way or the other. One developing an anti-gravity device or something of that nature. The most recent was due to testify before Congress and committed suicide weeks before that testimony. Are there plausible explanations for each and every one? I don't know. I don't know. Is Bigfoot still alive? I don't know. Is Elvis still alive? I don't think so. But if you're going to be open to everything, you got to consider everything, right? By the way, former FBI Deputy Director Bongino is talking about a divide he saw inside that agency. He joined the Sean Hannity podcast discussing it and the internal roadblocks that he and Director Kash Patel encountered. He said inside there were snakes. He said there were two FBIs trying to help solve the A, B, and C problems, and that's FBI 1 and FBI 2. He explained that half the bureau consists of agents he felt honored to be in the room with. But the other side, he had an entirely different view. Again, this is Bongino speaking. He said you had in this other group populated, unfortunately, with saying snakes as being very nice. And he also pointed out that while he and Patel were trying to figure out what is happening and how some of the stuff is getting out, Bongino suggested to root these guys out. He used in listing details, kind of an innocuous detail about his schedule and see where it would be leaked and maybe by whom. So he was basically playing a game to oust those inside the FBI that were leakers. He said, I planted false flag information and watched to see what happened. I don't know if that explains everything about why he decided to not continue to serve. I don't know. But he did say it was an honor, and he said the American people deserve a justice system that is transparent, accountable, committed to the rule of law. But he's also pointing out here that in this case, he realized, he and Patel, that they had a lot of, quote, snakes still inside the agency. The only way to make them show their forked tongue was to plant something that was a fake piece of evidence, information, I should say, and watch where it surfaced. From what hole did it come? My boots on the ground correspondent Andrew in Chicago sent me a piece from a Chicago publication talking about what happened that led to the death of a police officer and another one being seriously injured. Now, I don't have the full piece in front of me, but what I have here, it's a reader of this CWB, as it's called, Chicago something information source publication, asking who is surprised that the shooter who shot dead one officer, seriously injured another, had an electronic monitoring escapee or was an electronic monitoring escapee, a parole absconder, a seven-time arrested felon with armed robbery and armed carjacking cases still appealing. And the publication noted that in the last 5 years, 466 people arrested for murder or attempted murder while on pre-trial release awaiting trial for other felonies. No one is surprised because that's the way they do liberal justice. They endanger the society. Oh, they'll make sure they're protected. But you and your family, you're just on your own. And this shooting attempt the other night at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, one former defense intel officer says, this does show vulnerability of potentially accessing Trump or other senior officials. And he said, Iran has a demonstrated history of using criminals and proxies, and they could see this as an opportunity. Again, this was taking place at the hotel ballroom, the Washington Hilton. It was outside the Washington Hilton that Ronald Reagan was shot after he left a meeting, a gathering, I should point out. The man rushed, the gunman in this case, rushing past an outlying security perimeter, not going through the magnetometer, because he had a weapon. He had a gun, he had a pistol, I should say, and a shotgun. And the agent standing in his way was immediately shot, but it hit the chest of the abdomen area, and he was protected by his vest. Goes down to his knee and draws his weapon to shoot at the guy, and other agents doing the same. No one hit him. I'm not going to second guess why they didn't, but the bottom line is they did catch him. But this former Defense Department guy says, Iran wants revenge for Soleimani. Soleimani was the one that Trump ordered a hit on as he thought he was in a safe area. And he was a leader inside Iran. So they're looking for options like that. Then, of course, you had this remark made the other day by Jimmy Kimmel. Now, he had made the remark prior to what happened with the shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He had said that the First Lady is looking glowing like an expectant widow. And then the shooting event took place. And he said, I was not referring to him being killed. I was talking about the age difference between the two of them, that he'll probably die before her. And that's still supposed to be a joke, right? And of course, out of the woodwork come all these others that claim that Well, you know, you can't get on them too hard. It wasn't that bad of a thing. In fact, Jane Fonda says, when is parody a crime? And why should it be denounced so much? There's an age difference between Jane Fonda and Ted Turner. If anybody had said something like that, you think she would have taken offense? Oh, I imagine, hell yes, she would have. I told you earlier that ABC issued a report that involved Trump and Epstein. You don't jump ahead of me on this story. Hear what ABC had to say regarding Trump and Epstein.
This morning, a new document coming to light claims in the mid-2000s, President Trump called police about Jeffrey Epstein. Among the 3 million Epstein files released by the Department of Justice last month is a four-page FBI report on an interview the Bureau conducted in 2019 with a man believed to be former Palm Beach Police Chief Michael Ryder. Ryder and his detectives began investigating Epstein for human trafficking in 2004. According to the document, Trump called Ryder around that time and said, "Thank goodness you're stopping him. Everyone has known he's been doing this." Ryder also says Trump said he threw Epstein out of his club and he was around Epstein once when teenagers were present and Trump got the hell out of there. The former police chief says Trump told him to focus on Epstein's associate Ghislaine Maxwell, saying she is evil. Trump has long denied having any knowledge of Epstein's crimes, but Ryder says Trump was one of the very first people to call when people found out that they were investigating Epstein.
Did you hear that? Trump called police to report, "I think you need to take a look at Epstein." In fact, they say a police officer told them Trump was one of the first to call them. You need to take a look at this guy. So for all those who thought that Trump had connections to Epstein, and again, I'm not giving him a pass on anything at this point, but based on that report, he was already sounding the alarm, and nobody was responding, apparently. As you know with this program, and me personally, I'm not here to constantly bang the drum and praise Trump. If he does something wrong, I call it out. But I also want to call out when he's doing something right, and instead of all the slurs and slander thrown at him, I want you to hear cases where he is praised. Listen to the words of a Marine.
As a Marine Corps veteran, 5 combat tours, as an oil field worker, and as a dad, today is a win for our country. They're scared, y'all. They're scared. If it ain't obvious now, y'all blind. USA, baby. USA. President Trump, we salute you.
USA, baby, and President Trump, we salute you. So there was a big ruling in the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday regarding Texas and redistricting. Let me set the stage briefly for you. The Commonwealth of Virginia, as you know, recently decided to do a redistricting of their map. They have in the Virginia Commonwealth, they have 11 congressional seats. Currently, 6 are held by Democrats, 5 by Republicans. Well, they redrew the map and then put it in front of the voters to vote on it, saying, "We're trying to make this a fair issue. Do you think things should be fair in elections?" The wording on the ballot confused a lot of voters. They said, "Yeah, I think it should be fair." You know what they were pushing? Going from 6 Democrats and 5 Republicans to redrawing the map where out of those 11 districts, only one would be Republican. The rest would be Democrat-held territory. The Supreme Court of Virginia denied a request from Democrats in the state to pause last week's ruling, which blocked the State Board of Elections from certifying those results. So we'll see what happens next on it. Texas, of course, had been pushing a redistricting. Trump had urged him to do it. Texas was more than willing to do it because California is way, way overrepresented. And Virginia was trying to do the same thing. Yesterday, April 27, 2026 by a 6-3 ruling. The Supreme Court reversed a lower court ruling and now will allow Texas to use its Republican-drawn congressional map for the 2026 elections. The challengers say this was gerrymandered. It dilutes minority voting power. These are the same ilk of the people in Virginia that saw no issue with taking 11 congressional districts and carving them into only one Republican and the rest being Democrat. In the Texas redistricting, it's not anything like that at all. So it survived the Supreme Court challenge. Four state Republican-led states, including Texas, have redrawn their maps through legislation. Two Democrat states have done it through voter-approved ballot measures, Virginia being one of them. In Texas, Republicans hold 25 of the Texas 38 seats in the lower chamber. We will see how that shakes out. But that's the ruling from the Supreme Court. Texas, your map meets our criteria. It's not gerrymandering. You are doing a proper job of trying to properly apportion representatives for your people. Virginia, you suck. Well, Supreme Court didn't say that. Larry Connor said that. And you can quote me on that. Oh, they're trying to pull a fast one. And their ballot language they put in front of the voters. Do you want free elections and fair elections? Well, hell yes. But they didn't tell you that behind that writing was there'd be only one Republican out of 11 districts representing the Commonwealth of Virginia. I hope you enjoyed this hour. You learned a lot, right? We got another 2 hours coming tomorrow, starting at 6. Let your family, friends know. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.